Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Once again, that's the sound of rock cracking. You got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net, and we are getting into August. And in the past, we've called it the dog days of August because of the heat. Is it getting hot where you are? Across America, there's some heat waves here and there, and politics are getting hotter. Our rocks are splitting. You could say maybe some more lava is about to flow from a volcano, about to blow. That's the state of politics in 2018 in the summer, getting ready for the midterm elections. And we're going to concentrate today's show on the midterm elections because they are coming into focus. We kick off this first show in August because as we come into focus, we're starting to see the most of the primaries are finishing up, and then the general election's getting laid out before us. And really now, the blue wave preachers, the people who teach that there's going to be a blue wave, they are very confident in a blue wave. And yet there's people in the Republican Party saying we're going to hold the House, we're going to hold the Senate because look at the economy. So which way is it? What's going on? Well, listen to today's show, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We'll get into races about the House, the U.S. House of Representatives, and about the United States Senate. So stay tuned for the time we start focusing in on these midterm elections that are so important for the future of the United States. Why are they important? Because we have started a different direction from when Barack Obama was president. In fact, of Donald Trump, he's thrown some things at America and the world and the establishment and trying to drain the swamp that he's got Republicans mad at him. He's got Democrats mad at him. He got socialists mad at him. And yet he's got some American people who look at the tariffs and say, finally, somebody's standing up for the American worker. So we are going to dig into some of the issues before we get into the midterm elections. First, I got to tell you about this media frenzy about they're going after the president. And then some of the people are getting mad at the media. And they were calling Jim Acosta, CNN's reporter. Jim Acosta has never been respectful of President Trump, nor of the White House press corps. As far as being a part of that, he's never been respectful to anybody in the Trump White House, it seems like. But now he's demanding respect because he's starting to fear the crowds who are turning against him. Said he didn't feel like it was America. But he confronted the Sarah Sanders, the president's press secretary. And I'm going to play, let me play this clip because it was very contentious with a lot of truth coming out. And Sarah Sanders, the daughter of former governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee, she, I think, does an outstanding job. Take a listen to this.
The press is not the enemy of the people. And she asked you whether or not the press is the enemy of the people. You read off a laundry list of your concerns about the press and things that you feel like are misreported, but you did not say that the press is not the enemy of the people. And I think it would be a good thing if you were to say right here at this briefing that the press, the people who are gathered in this room right now, doing their jobs every day, asking questions of officials like the ones you brought forward earlier, are not the enemy of the people. I think we we deserve that.
I think the president has made his position known. I also think it's ironic.
Would you mind telling us,
I'm trying to answer your question.
Okay,
I politely waited, and I even called on you, despite the fact that you interrupted me while calling on your colleague.
Well,
I said it's ironic.
Which is why I interrupted.
I'm trying.
But if you finish, if you would not mind letting me have a follow-up, that would be fine. But
it's ironic, Jim, that not only you and the media attack the president for his rhetoric, when they frequently lower the level of conversation in this country. Repeatedly, the media resorts to personal attacks without any content other than to incite anger. The media has attacked me personally on a number of occasions, including your own network, said I should be harassed as a life sentence, that I should be choked. ICE officials are not welcomed in their place of worship, and personal information is shared on the Internet. When I was hosted by the Correspondents Association, of which almost all of you are members of, you brought a comedian up to attack my appearance and call me a traitor to my own gender. In fact, as I know, I'm the first press secretary in the history of the United States that's required Secret Service protection. The media continues to ratchet up the verbal assault against the president and everyone in this administration, and certainly we have a role to play, but the media has a role to play for the discourse in this country as well.
And sir, if you don't mind, if I may follow up, excuse me, you did not say in the course of those remarks that you just made that the press is not the enemy of the people. Are we to take it from what you just said? We all get put through the ringer. We all get put in the meat grinder in this town, and you're no exception. And I'm sorry that that happened to you. I wish that had not happened. But for the sake of this room, the people who are in this room, this democracy, this country, all the people around the world are watching what you're saying, Sarah, and the White House for the United States of America, the President of the United States should not refer to us as the enemy of the people. His own daughter acknowledges that, and all I'm asking you to do, Sarah, is to acknowledge that right now and right here.
I appreciate your passion. I share it. I've addressed this question. I've addressed my personal feelings. I'm here to speak on behalf of the president. He's made his comments clear.
Sarah, on another matter.
How I can say is, you go, girl. That's Sarah Sanders. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, just what a great press secretary. The way she stands up for herself. And going back, and she has really stood up with a lot of humility to some outrageous, just like she's talking about that comic that the press corps brought in, and literally just shameful of the words and the way she abused Sarah Sanders in Sarah's presence. That was a remarkable humility that she showed, and took all that, and the left keeps throwing it on, and then of course turning her family away, wouldn't feed her family at a restaurant, just harassment. And yet Jim Acosta is saying, hey, you know, he thought it was a one-way street. It's not. And I can say right here, nobody on either side, there should never be violence resorted to on anybody. We should have a full, forceful, passionate debate. The freedom of the press is succinct. Freedom of speech is. And that's the trouble with the left, where they won't give people freedom of speech on these left-wing campuses. You should be able to debate and talk and speak, and then go home if you don't convince somebody. Go home, but there should never be threats of violence of any kind. Should never be violence of any kind in the United States of America. And so I was glad Sarah Sanders stood up for herself and the president. And I would love to see the press treat the president with respect. And I'd love to see the president be able to be respectful of a free press. But they are so much against him. You know, I think he's always been Donald Trump. You hit me, I'm going to hit you back harder. And that's his nature. That's why he's president of the United States now. I don't think he'd be president if he didn't have that tough backbone. Now, I do want to play one more clip, and we'll get into the midterm election. This is a quick clip from MSNBC's Nicole Wallace. And this is what frustrates me, because you hear Sarah Sanders, and here's what MSNBC host had to say about Sarah Sanders.
classy guys. Sarah Huckabee Sanders was asked about this in today's briefing. Her first answer was a recounting of the responsibilities of the press. So they tried again.
Look, does the White House support that or not?
While we certainly support freedom of the press, we also support freedom of speech, and we think that those things go hand in hand.
Joining us now, New York Times chief. You know, we're not going to air that anymore. Let's make that the last Sarah Huckabee Sanders clip ever aired at 4 o'clock.
Ever.
Yeah, that's it. You know what? That makes me sweat. That is vile.
The previous answer,
who complains about a restaurant that exercises their First Amendment right to kick out someone that they think is obliterating Democratic norms. Seriously, that made me sweat.
Well, I guess so much for gender equality. When you don't even want to hear the president's press secretary, you're in the press, and you said, that's it. Not going to play him anymore. That's a vile woman. Need I say more? That's MSNBC. Just wanted you to hear that. You know, to me, Jim Acosta, Nicole Wallace, they need to chill out. I really believe this is, I thought of Guns N' Roses, not the fiery fighting songs, but a little patience. I really believe Jim Acosta really, I believe he really loves Donald Trump. I believe there's a love-hate relationship. He hates him so much, but really, he loves being a star of the show. He loves having his name put out there in the national media. And you know why? He needs a little patience. Take a listen, see if this is not what Jim Acosta is really singing to Donald Trump. I don't think Jim Acosta's singing the blues. I believe he really needs Donald Trump. How about you? I think he loves Donald Trump. He loves being in the limelight. He loves the money he's making CNN. And he loves the economy boosting up everybody's income. And he just has to hate President Trump because he doesn't know what else to do. He needs President Trump. All the liberals need President Trump. And that's why I believe they're having trouble and they're sweating out this election. I think they've fallen in love of hating Trump. But we'll see. And that's what we're about to talk about. Let's look at the House race. Let's look at the United States House of Representatives. And you can see on Real Clear Politics, they say there's 35 seats up for grabs in the U.S. House. And that's what they got. Right now, they got the Democrats rated at about 199 seats. And they have the Republicans in the House rated about 201. That's a difference of two, and they got 35 seats that are up for grabs. That is close, and that's why the Democrats feel like they're going to take over the House. The generic ballot for the Democrats is a plus 7. Well, we also remember the polls said that Donald Trump was not going to be Hillary Clinton. So where are we? Well, let's look at some of the House races, and really what the Democrats are counting on is states like California. They got several toss-ups seats in the state of California, I know they got at least like 4 to 6 seats in California. They think they can swing from red to blue. And most of the toss-up seats across the country are occupied by Republicans now. So it will take a lot for the Republicans to hold these seats. Is it a national election? The more it becomes a national election, the more likely the Republicans will hold the House. And what do the Republicans have to run on? Well, they have to run on the economy and the GDP numbers we just talked about last week's show. Brilliant, 4.1%. Will they come in for the third quarter like that? Will we get news before the election? And there should be a GDP number coming out for the election. So that's something that everybody will be looking at. And what's happening in the economy? Well, when you got more job openings than you have people looking for jobs, it's always a great time for the economy. And that's what the Republicans can talk about, and the tax cuts. There's so much they can build on, but they got a poison tree press. What I mean by a poison tree press, they seem like everything's gloom and doom. I don't know if you saw Disney's come out with a new Christopher Robin about Winnie the Pooh, and one of the lines in there, which is funny, is where, of course, Eeyore's always in doom and gloom, and then there's a one time Pooh Bear was out there, and it started raining and dark and gloomy. He said, "Oh, what a gloomy day, and Eeyore's not here to enjoy it." And that's how I think the Democrats want to paint a gloomy picture across America. And they want all the Democrats to come out and enjoy the gloomy day so they get out and vote. But that's not the real picture out there. Yes, there's problems. Yes, there are challenges. But this president is taking a bull by the horns in a different way than it's been done in the past, with the elitist of both parties being just aghast at what the president is doing. And yet the people are saying, finally, somebody's listening to us. And the talking heads who think they know everything are the ones that said this economy is mature and it can't go over 2%. And now we are at 4.1%. So who are the voters going to listen to? Well, that's where right now 30-second ads are being made. They're being debated on. They're being tested. And who's going to have the better ad machine, the Republicans or the Democrats? Well, who's going to use Facebook in a way it hadn't been used before? Do the national parties, are they able to get down on level in these congressional races and really tip the boat with Facebook ads and ads that weren't around 4 years ago, 8 years ago? So that's what we're looking at. And then I told you about California as a state to look at. Texas has got several seats that are in the open, we're in a toss-up category. And there's actually a couple Democrat seats in Minnesota that are in toss-up territory. So can the Republicans take any seats away from the Democrats? There's not many out there. Like I said, there's a couple in Minnesota. And there's also a couple of Minnesota Republican districts up for grabs. So Minnesota's a state you got to look at, along with California, Texas, and then across Pennsylvania. There's some seats the Republicans have that are in jeopardy. When I say in jeopardy, that means they're in a toss-up category. So it's going to come down to how many people get out to vote, which side gets the base out to vote. And that's in the history of it is, of course, whoever wins the presidency usually loses seats in the House and Senate in the next midterm elections. That's where we're at historically. But we have such a contrast of the way things were in the economy and the way it is now. Can Republicans get their message out? Well, that's up to you. It's up to people like me and others to tell what good is going on and what direction do you see the country going. If the Democrats take over the House or the Senate, either one, then Donald Trump's agenda moving forward, it's stuck. It can't go forward because the Democrats won't allow it to. So if you like the direction America's going, and more people are polling, yes, they like the direction America's going, then therefore people better get out and vote. Now, one of the things that we were talking about is the House that's where the Democrats think they got a solid chance. Ironically, it's the Senate where they only have a 51-49 advantage. And actually, it's 51-47, a couple independents. They always vote with Democrats. Independents like Bernie Sanders, who's to the left. and he'll caucus with the Democrats. Let's talk about the Senate in just a minute. Before we do, let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. And I want to remind you, you can go to my website. That's www.docholliday.org. That's Doc Holliday, HOLLIDAY.org. You can order a book. It's called Bedrock Truths. It's a book that I wrote along with Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Alex McFarland. And I know some of you have been ordering that, and some off we got it at Amazon also. You can order it on Amazon if you got like an Amazon gift card, or just go to our website and order it on our website. We appreciate that. It helps keep us on the air, and we appreciate you getting this word out about Doc Holliday's books, and also letting people know that they can come visit the website and order some books there. Now, one of the things that I want to do and have been talking about doing is trying to get together my health care plan, and hopefully we'll be getting that rolled out. A health care plan that's better than Obamacare, much better than Obamacare, using technology that was not available, just now becoming available, to help get this Obamacare albatross off our necks and offer American people a real health care plan, a real health care way to move our country forward. So I hope we'll get that. We're trying to get some pictures together to help better explain it. So we're hoping to roll that out here very, very soon. And now, let's get back to the show. It's time to talk about the United States Senate. But first, take a listen to this. Well, that's Bon Jovi singing Living on a Prayer, and maybe that's what the Senate's doing, because in the United States Senate, it's 51 Republicans and 49 caucusing Democrats and independents, and it makes it very, very much a tough battle. But the good thing is there's many more Democrat seats up for election than there are Republicans. So therefore, it gives the Republicans actually more of an edge in the United States Senate. They're just 100 seats, and the ones that are up for grabs in a Senate, there's, they estimate like 7 seats are very much toss-ups. And the Republicans have 48, and the Democrats have 45. So it makes it the battle of 7 there going to, they're going to go one way or the other, but most of those are in on the Democratic side. Nevada is Senator Heller. There is a Republican that's in a real tight reelection race. The Republicans could lose that. But what's going on across the country? Well, there's a couple, 2 states in as far as the Senate goes. There's 2 states, state of Mississippi, where I do this program from, and the state of Minnesota, where actually both Senate seats are up for election. And there's a couple of special elections. In Mississippi, Senator Thad Cochran resigned for health reasons earlier, and he has the governor appointed Cindy Hyde-Smith, who was the agriculture commissioner of the state. People thought she may be weak, but she's proven to be a tough campaigner on the road. And then there's a Democrat running for the special election seat. And then the Tea Party specialist that almost beat Thad Cochran. And he did actually beat Thad Cochran. And then in a runoff, Thad Cochran beat him in 2014. But that is Chris McDaniel. And he has a lot of support from around the country, and especially in Mississippi. So that's setting up for a race that will, the top two, if nobody gets over 50%, will do a runoff after the November elections. So that's the state. And also, like I said, in the state Minnesota. Al Franken had to resign, and so there's two Senate seats up there in the state of Minnesota, although none seem to be in trouble or jeopardy there for the Democrats, but who knows which way things could swing in the next 3 months. So it's the states where the Republicans could pick up from a Democrat. There's more chances, like Florida. Governor Scott is going against longtime Democrat Senator Nelson, and Scott, in some polls, is up. That could be a takeaway from the Democrats. West Virginia, where Senator Manchin is a Democrat now, but he has been governor before. He'll be very hard to beat in West Virginia, yet there's a lot of people in West Virginia voted for Trump, like 20 to 30% over Hillary Clinton. And if they want the Trump agenda to go forward, it may not matter whose name's on the ballot. They just know they need to get a Republican in there. In Missouri, the Democrat there, Senator Maskell, and she is in possible trouble there. Depends on how many people will come out and vote in the Senate race there in Missouri. And across the country, we see that. Montana, Democratic Senator Tester could be in trouble. So there's more seats that the Democrats have to hold than Republicans. So therefore, the Republicans have a better shot at keeping the Senate than they do the House. So that's what's coming into focus in the next few weeks. Of course, we'll be looking at some races and tell you about how the poll numbers are looking as we get closer to the election. We're less than 100 days now, counting it down. And it's some people, and I know Sean Hannity said the most important midterm elections, I think he said, in American history. I don't know if it's that big, but it's one of the biggest in American history. Why? Because what direction will America keep going? I heard Senator Roger Wicker, a Republican from Mississippi. He's out campaigning. He's up for election. Like I said, both Senate seats in Mississippi are. He has a Democrat opponent. But he was saying, do we build on what has begun with the tax cuts, the economy growing, cutting regulations? Do we build on that and go forward in the direction we're going? Or do we turn it around, go back the way it was, more like it was with Barack Obama president? Well, that's what the American people got to decide, and that's why it's important for people like you who are listening to this show to let people know what's at stake. And it's you can watch CNN and watch Fox News, and you can think of Charles Dickens' first line in A Tale of Two Cities. It's a great novel, when it said, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. Well, you can talk about the economy and how good it is, and the lowest African-American unemployment rate in the history, lowest Hispanic unemployment rate in the history. And then we have so many people working, more workers now than has ever worked before. The worker participation number, I still would love to see get up more, but there's more people working in America now than ever worked before. We got more jobs than we have people looking for jobs. So therefore, what it means, more people need to start looking for jobs, getting a workforce. More people we have in a workforce, the more taxes are coming in, and that get more people off welfare. So those are the positive effects in the direction America's going that will be stopped and be heading another direction if the Democrats take either the House or the Senate. So therefore, dear American people and people who love the direction this country is going, you must not only vote, but get your friends and neighbors out to vote and to keep America going in the direction it is going. But that's exactly what Senator Roger Wicker, a Republican from Mississippi, is saying. Do we build on what we've started, or do we go back to what Barack Obama was offering? That is the question for the American people. We have just sort of focused in on the midterms, and we will even get more under a microscope as we go forward in some certain races as the polls start developing that. That's Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics right here, kicking off the month of August, where it gets even hotter than July in a lot of cases. So therefore, remember, Listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. We'll zero in on these midterm elections, keep things in focus, and keep listening because the rocks are splitting every day with Donald Trump in the White House. You never know what to expect or what somebody's going to say, but come here to Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics, and we'll let you know what you need to know. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.